Welcome to the Grace Place Weekly Podcast. No matter your size, age, shade, or background, here you'll receive compelling lessons suited to help guide your walk with Christ and your relationships with others. Please join us now for this week's podcast, recorded live from Grace Place in St. Paul, Minnesota.
So on Thursday, the 31st of August, several weeks ago, I got up to pray that morning. It was after Terry taking care of her mother, all of the development of that cancer and all. And Terry got up about 1:30 in the morning to go to the bathroom, and she fell. She passed out and fell, and she hit her head. And we didn't know it at the time, but she broke her neck. She fractured C7, which is the large vertebrae that you can feel right at the base of your neck, the large one that sticks out a little bit. That's C7, and the one below that is T1. She crushed it. And so since that time, she's been obviously with therapy and the doctors. And it's developed to the point now where, as of the last couple of days, I feel like we're facing a future of recovery, time for her to rest. Many of you have volunteered to help and brought food, and you bring more food than what we need, and pies, and you got to remember there's just two of us.
No pie.
Oh, that great pie. But I said to the Lord that Thursday morning, "What are you doing?" I was confused. I said, "What are you doing?" And he said to me, "I'm working on your testimony." And so since about 3 weeks ago now, I've been trying to relay that idea to you. I'm going to do that again today. But I need to establish an understanding for you, maybe for more than just this day, but for all of your Bible study, or maybe for the rest of your life, that you would understand that there are two parts of your Bible. There's an Old Testament and a New Testament. And the Old Testament points toward the New Testament, the things that God did there, many things. He set up a plan that would point us to Jesus Christ. The scripture says, first is the natural, then comes the supernatural. Your natural birth and then your spiritual birth. And if you understand that progress, then you'll understand that the things we talk about from the Old Testament all have a purpose and are revealed or made plain in the New Testament. The things that God did then were an example of what he was going to do in the Spirit now. Do you understand that? Okay, that's a real important point, because what was physical and real in the Old Testament is now spiritual and real in the New Testament. Please stand with me and look at Hebrews chapter 9. Hebrews chapter 9, if you'll stand for just a moment while we read the scripture. We've had a lot go on in the service, and I don't intend to finish this today. This is my third attempt at bringing this idea to you, and it's turning into a series. But I want you to look at Hebrews chapter 9, and I'm going to make an example now of this idea that the Old Testament points toward the New Testament, and I'm going to move quickly, speak quickly. You're going to have to listen fast, okay? Verse 1, 9:1. Now the first covenant had regulations for worship and also an earthly sanctuary. A tabernacle was set up. Everybody say tabernacle. You'll hear that word a lot in the next few weeks. Tabernacle was set up in its first room with a lampstand, a table, consecrated bread called the holy place, behind the second curtain, a room called the most holy place, the golden altar of incense, the gold-covered ark of the covenant. Everybody say ark of the covenant. These are real things, a lampstand and table and bread and this ark of the covenant. It's physical stuff. It all is pointing to something spiritual. Everybody said amen if you understand that. Okay. The ark contained, this is the golden-covered ark of the covenant. This ark contained the gold jar of manna. Everybody say manna. Aaron's staff that had budded. Everybody say Aaron's staff. And the stone tablets of the covenant. The Ten Commandments that God wrote with his finger. The Ten Commandments of the covenant. And in a moment you'll see that that word covenant is also translated testimony. Above the ark were the cherubim of glory overshadowing the atonement cover. We cannot discuss these things in detail now. When everything had been arranged like this, the priest entered regularly into the outer room to carry on their ministry. But only the high priest entered the inner room and that only once a year, and never without blood, which he offered for himself and for the sins of the people that committed in ignorance. The Holy Spirit was showing by this that the way into the most holy place had not yet been disclosed as long as the first tabernacle, everybody say tabernacle, was still standing. So God was signifying that because the tabernacle was still standing and there were these veils and there was this furniture, that as long as that was standing, the way into the presence of God was still blocked by these curtains until, and look at this now, was not disclosed as long as the first tabernacle was still standing. This is an illustration for the present time. So for them, it was an illustration indicating that the gifts and sacrifices being offered were not able to clear the conscience of the worshiper. They are only a matter of food and drink and various ceremonial washings, external regulations applying until, everybody say until the time of the new order. Now you understand that what we just read about is all about something that's coming, a new order. All right, you can be seated. Chapter 10, verse 1, please. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 1. The law is only a shadow. Please say shadow. A shadow of the good things that are coming, not the realities themselves. Has that dawned on you? Get that? That what they did in the Old Testament, these pieces of furniture, this tabernacle, this process was a shadow. It wasn't the reality. Do you get it? By the same sacrifices repeated endlessly year after year, make perfect those who draw near to worship. It could be that they would not, if God would have meant that to be completed, it would have stopped. Now, the Ark of the Covenant. I want you to think with me quickly. The Ark of the Covenant that is mentioned here was a box that God intended to put something into it, inside of it. The box is you, natural. You are like the Ark of the Covenant, and God is putting something inside of you. So my high interest in the Ark of the Covenant, my interest in the old movie, Raiders of the Lost Ark, I just am interested in this piece of furniture. But when I ask the Lord, what are you doing? What is happening here? My mother-in-law and now Terry and all this madness and this pain and suffering, and it's such an interruption, and what is happening? He said, I'm working on your testimony. Well, I found out in the book of Exodus, if you'll look there quickly, please. 25, Exodus chapter 25, verse 16. These are things I did not know before Terry fell. These are things I did not know before in my ministry. When he said, I'm working on your testimony, I read Exodus 25, 16. This is the instruction about that ark, what size it's to be, what it's to be made out of. And then in verse 16, God said to Moses, then put in the ark the testimony, which I will give you. So after you get all this put together and you've got this Ark of the Covenant, there's something that I'm going to put in that. Now look at verse 22. There above the cover between the two cherubim that are over the Ark of the Testimony, I will meet with you and give you my commands for the Israelites. So the furniture's a big deal. It's a symbol. It's a shadow of what's going to come. It explains to us that Jesus Christ entered once into the holy place with his own blood, and that we don't have to bring sacrifices anymore. How many of you are thankful for that? How many of you understand that your sin, there were certain sacrifices. Come, Dan Brigley, come help me. Come help me, Smith. That there are, in the Old Testament, there are sins that if you sinned a certain sin, you had to bring certain sacrifices. Okay? Like if you sinned a small sin, you could bring turtle doves. So everybody would look and see what you're bringing to church today. And if you, let's say you killed somebody, or you committed adultery, or I don't know, whatever, some of them you had to bring an ox or a cow. Come on, cow. Moo, moo, yeah. Moo. So you look up and you see, oh my God, Pastor Friend is bringing a cow. Ooh, he's had a bad week. Yeah, some of them, you bring a cow, you bring a sheep. Yeah, thanks, Dan, got that. And you bring in your sheep, and your people are looking, and they say, oh, Mary, poor Mary, she fell again. Look, she had to bring a sheep. She's not bringing turtle doves. She's not bringing little stuff. Thanks, Dan.
Look at the cool.
So the people could see that. The people could tell that. Somebody had a fight with his wife. Some wife hit her head over the husband's head with a frying pan. You know, you cuss your kids out on the way to church. Somebody kicked the dog, whatever it is. All the stuff that we do, you know, we, whatever. But that stopped. Somebody ought to say praise the Lord. I mean, practically, it stopped. God, okay, but all of that was pointing to the place where one day Jesus Christ would come and by his blood cleanse all of us and our conscience. Hallelujah. Well, where they took that blood was back to that Ark of the Covenant. And that's such a big deal. It's such a process that he would tell them to do that. And I thought, wow, that's salvation. That is so huge. Look at me. We have been so focused for 2,000 years on sin that even growing up in the church and as a pastor and a minister, I didn't realize there's something bigger that God's dealing with than just my sin or my failure. He said, I want you to put something inside that ark. Not just the Ark of the Covenant, not just where the blood touches it. There's going to be something inside there. And I said, well, Lord, what is that? He said, it's your testimony. It's what God has done in your life. Put that piece of stone in there that God touched. Put manna in there that God provided for you. Put Aaron's staff that shows the name and the authority. And I'm going, oh, my God. It's about our testimony. It's about your personal relationship with God. He's building a relationship with you. He's proving to you, no matter how much you doubt, help me somebody, no matter how much you fear, no matter how confused you get, he's still God. He still does what he said he would do. So many people put so much emphasis on my faith and can I believe it? Well, you know, why did Terry fall? And my God, I don't have any of that fear anymore. It's about God's relationship with me. He's putting faith in me in the time of trouble. He's putting joy in my heart in the time of sorrow. He's putting strength in me when I don't have any strength of my own. And I'm going, this is the hand of God writing on me inside that, inside the ark, inside of me. There's a testimony of what God can do. Do you understand? It's not about the process. It's not about that piece of furniture. He's trying to put a testimony in the ark. He doesn't make you go through bad times. He doesn't hurt people. He heals people and brings you out so that you look back and say, God, in spite of my weakness, in spite of my prayerlessness, in spite of my lack of faith, and I know I could preach about faith and put you under pressure and make you give more, make you believe more, make you pray more, but I'm going to tell you there's a God who's bigger than your lack. You say, how do you know that, Pastor? Because I have a testimony that when I said, what are you doing? What in the world are you doing? He said, I'm building your testimony. I'm going to do something personal, something real inside of you that nobody can take away. And I'm going to give you my last point because it's a little late. I want you to think with me about the value of his relationship with you, how he values what you know about him. Would somebody say, I know? Somebody say, I know. Are there some things that you know about God? Are there some things that you know that nobody can argue with you about? You're not going to take that out. It's not doctrine. I'm not talking about doctrinal stuff. I'm not talking about Pentecostal, Baptist, Catholics, Lutherans. I'm talking about what you know about your God. Listen to me. My knowledge of God has driven religion out of my head. I had things in my head, Tommy, that I was taught that were in my head that God has proven to be false. One of the big ones is you don't have to get good to get God. That's a big one. The other one is he's faithful when I'm not. Man, I was trying to be faithful, trying to do the right thing. Now I realize he wants me to believe the right thing, put the right thing inside my heart, because what I believe is going to eventually come out. Oh, hallelujah. Your personal relationship, what you believe about God, what you know about God is so valuable to God. Listen, this is so cool. He put it inside that ark, and I thought the ark was the thing. No, your testimony is the thing. Watch this. The tabernacle, we just read about it. First of all, there's a huge fence-like area called the outer court. Big fence. They set it up. Inside of that, there are two pieces of furniture and then the tabernacle that we were talking about. So you have to come through this outer gate, even to get into the place where you make a sacrifice. And then after the sacrifice, you know there was water they washed. And then the tabernacle proper. And he talks about the first room, which is the holy place. On the right, this table with showbread. And on the left, this candlestick. And in front of you is this altar of incense. And then there's a veil. And behind the veil is the Ark of the Covenant. And the mercy seat with these cherubim over the top. Hallelujah. So to get to the testimony, you got to go through this entire process to get to what's inside there. Hallelujah. Then you have coming down. That's if you're just going horizontal. When coming down, you got the power and spirit of Almighty God. How many of you know that Jesus said God is a spirit? And they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. You got the spirit of Almighty God hovering over you, over your testimony, protecting that testimony. And then you got this pillar of a cloud or fire that's over top of the tabernacle. And that's the tent that covers the room. And then in the room there's this incense that's burnt and the Shekinah glory of God that's over top of the cherubim, and then the cherubim are over top of the mercy seat. This is all you got to go through, all of this. That's what God did, layer after layer after layer, to show you the value of the testimony that you have. When Terry comes out of this, there's no one in this building today, and some people that are coming yet not born to the kingdom, that will ever doubt that she knows what she says when she says he's a healer. I know he can heal. There's nothing like a testimony from a Grandma Jane that's dying in the hospital, and the family gathers and the doctor said she's going to die, and the spirit says no and raises her up. And here years later she's saying, I got a testimony in my heart. I remember the call that I got from you, Dorothy, when they said your sister had cancer on her liver, and the Holy Spirit spoke to me that day and I said no, and we're yelling, and Terry said, did you just tell Dorothy that her sister does not have cancer? I said, I did. The Holy Ghost said no. Bob Erickson, stand to your feet. You saw him up here just a moment ago. Quickly, you had a dream, and a guy said, love one another. Talk about that real quickly. Okay, what happened is Bob, who is a religious guy, who's been to church, been to Bible college, suddenly the word of the Lord comes inside of him, and it changes you. The word of the Lord will keep you through your life. 40 years ago, the Lord put it on my heart to go to South Africa. 40 years I waited. And a few months ago, Terry and I went to South Africa. If he says it, he's going to do it. And the testimony, Bob, is your personal relationship with God. That's something God put inside of you. Nobody can take that away from Bob. God spoke to me and said, you are to love everybody. I knew it. I knew what he said. I knew what he meant. No matter what anybody else does, no matter what other preachers preach, no matter what other people approach the kingdom of, you love everybody. And there are people that get all mad at me because I love everybody. Church people are upset about God's love for people who live a different lifestyle than they do. There are people that actually think God has preference by people's color. There are people that actually think that God has a gender selection. He actually thinks men are more important than women. What? They actually choose who they love by where people live, by how much money people have, by where they dress, whether they need a ride to church or give a ride to church. But a word in your spirit, a word down inside of you that says, God has touched me. He wrote on my heart with his finger, changes everything. It's the testimony inside of you. And you're saying, well, why am I going through such terrible times? It's to show you how good God is when you're in trouble. So you have a testimony. He's working on our testimony. Let's stand, shall we?
Thank you for joining us today. We hope this message has been a blessing to you. You can subscribe to this podcast via iTunes. To learn more about Grace Place, please visit our website at graceplacemn.org. Thanks for listening. May God bless you this week.